Welcome to Baba Education Institute. My name is Reverend Henry Kelly. Today we will be continuing the book of Romans chapter 9, and I'll be reading out of the NIV, the New International Version. But I'm not going to go, once I read it, I'll give you some commentary while we're going through it, but I won't be going to Matthew Henry's concise commentary on the whole Bible because it's just a lot of reading, and it can get kind of monotonous or boring, and I don't want to do that either, unless I feel that it may be something in there that will help. But for now, I'm just going to be reading the chapter, and I'll tell you while we're going through it what the meaning is and everything, so that we can keep it flowing pretty good. Before we get started, though, I like to read you what the Bible is, which I got from Dr. Vodi Bakum, and you can find him on YouTube, great teacher, preacher. And also, I got this off one of his teachings that he had, and he gave a little thing of what the Bible is, which is good. Before I read that, I like to give you some resources. And if you cannot afford a Bible, a Bible commentary, or if you can and you'd like to have one online also, here's one that's online. And it's my go-to, Matthew Henry's commentary, because this one stays with what was taught for the first 1,800 years as far as proper Bible study or proper hermeneutics, which is how to rightly divide the Word of God. Because from around the middle 1800s, there is a new study way that started, and it had a lot of beliefs that were contrary to what the early church was teaching from the time of Jesus and Paul, who came after Jesus, Paul and the apostles and everything. So, and that has caused a lot of, wrong theology, and the study of eschatology with the study of end times. So, and I can get very deceptive and deceiving, so we have to be careful. So that's why I stay with Matthew Henry's. I have some of the other ones, but they kind of stray away into that venture of the new belief system that was started, in mid-1800s. But anyway, so this is Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible online. You can go to www.biblestudytools.com. Go to menu, go to study tools, go to commentaries, down to Matthew Henry commentary on the Bible complete, and then you will have it. Or that, you can use that. And you can download it also, because I have a downloader on the app, and which you can find Matthew Henry's commentary on the Bible, a concise commentary. But if you don't want to do the app thing, you just do it online. I use all of it because it's just convenient where I'm at. And also another study tool is the Complete Works of Flavius Josephus. Flavius is F-L-A-V-I-U-S. Josephus is J-O-S-E-P-H-U-S, the Complete Works of. He was a Roman Jewish historian and military leader. He was born in A.D. 37 to A.D. 100. And so all these are good things to have, because we need to understand what the Bible was talking about, what was going on at that time, and what they were meaning, because you can lose the meaning. We need the whole context to get the right meaning. Okay, let's begin. With what the Bible is. The Bible, a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime of other eyewitnesses. 40 authors, 66 volumes of books, span 1,500 years in 3 continents, Asia, Africa, and Europe. Written in 3 languages, mainly Hebrew and Greek, a little in Aramaic, hundreds of subjects and topics. And that concludes that part of it. Now let's begin in Romans chapter 9, and that's in the New Testament. And I will be use the NIV, the New International Version, just to make it easy to understand. Let's begin. And the title on this small section, which is verses 1 through 5, is called Paul's Anguish Over Israel. I speak the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it through the Holy Spirit. Verse 2, I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Verse 3, for I could wish that I myself were cursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my people, those of my own race. Verse 4, the people of Israel, theirs is the adoption of to sonship. Theirs the divine glory, the covenants, the receiving of the law, the temple worship, and the promises. Verse 5, theirs are the patriarchs, and from them is traced the human ancestry of the Messiah, who is God over all, forever praised. Amen. The next section, the title on this section is God's Sovereign Choice, and that is from verse 6 to verse 29. Now, the word sovereign means that God, it's kind of like if you have a dictator, well, he's sovereign, so what he says goes. So God, because he's God, he's omnipotent, omniscient, he's everything. He is before creation, he was creation, he's everything. He's the one that created us. So what he says goes, because he knows all and he is all, we are not. So that's what sovereign means. It means he's sovereign. What he says goes, period, in a conversation. Whether we understand it or not, it doesn't matter. God knows what's happening, and he's in control. Verse 6, it is not as though God's word had failed, for not all who are descended from Israel are Israel. Verse 7, nor because they are his descendants are they all Abraham's children. On the contrary, it is through Isaac that your offspring will be reckoned. Verse 8, in other words, it is not the children by physical descent who are God's children, but it is the children of the promise who are regarded as Abraham's offspring. Verse 9, for this was how the promise was stated at the appointed time. I will return, and Sarah will have a son. Verse 10, not only that, but Rebekah's children were conceived at the same time by our father Isaac. Verse 11, yet before the twins were born or had done anything good or bad, in order that God's purpose in election might stand. Now remember, election means that he is predetermined, he's elected, he's predetermined who's coming and who's not. Now there's a slight controversy on that, because you say, well, if God's already chosen those, God knows who's coming. He created it. He created us. He knows who's going to reject and who's going to receive him. You know, I mean, there's people that you can talk to all the time. They're dead set on what they're doing, whether it's wrong. It doesn't matter. They're going to do it or die. And more than likely, those are like that who reject God will probably die in their sins like that, because that's their mindset. And they can't change, you know, because remember, I mean, the Bible, it says that no one's looking for God. So if God has to draw you and call you, because we're not looking for God, when we were saved, we weren't looking for him, but the Holy Spirit was drawing us to him. And also it says, like Romans chapter 8, verse 28, said, you know, we're predestined, you know, all through the New Testament and Old Testament, especially the New Testament, you'll see election, you'll see predestined, and what's that other scripture? It is, he chose us before the foundation of the world, you know. So God, what God says is going to be, but the thing is, remember, because most people, they think that people come to the Lord on their own, you know, and they said that they have a choice. In some regards you do, but in some regards you don't. Because if God had not drew you to him, you would still be lost. Because remember, no one's looking for God. Everybody's evil. We're all evil, and we do what's right in our own eyes. So God has to come and interrupt your life and start to draw you. And that's why, but here's the thing, you know, we think we have something to do with something. No, we don't. We have to come humbly like a child. That's why God says, come humbly like a child. And faith, believing, like you tell a child, and they just believe you because they're a child. You know, they have childlike faith. They just let you know they're a child. They believe what they're told. So through studying the Word of God, and if you actually, and you're studying with yourself open to the Holy Spirit, then God's going to show you exactly what He's talking about. And that's why you need to learn hermeneutics. That's why you need to know church history. What was on, what was going on, what's traditions of, and all that kind of stuff to get the whole true meaning of everything. And I challenge you, if you don't believe what I'm telling you, in fact, you can go to Google and you can put in there scripture verses on predestination, scripture verses on election, and it'll pop up all the stuff, and you can look and read for yourself. It's there. That's because I've done that many times. Okay. Let's continue. Verse 14. What then shall we say? Is God unjust? Not at all. Verse 15. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. Verse 16. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. Verse 17, for scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Let's stop there. If you go back to the Old Testament, when Moses was dealing with Egypt, it says very clearly there that God hardened Pharaoh's heart to show his power and his glory to the whole world, or, you know, those people that were there at the time was the whole world. And that's just how it is, you know. And, you know, people want to skip over that. No, it's God's in control. He also says, I believe it's Exodus chapter 4, verse 11. He's talking to Moses, and he says, do I not make the blind and the lame and the deaf, you know, and all that for his purposes? You can go to the New Testament. And there's a blind man that needed to be healed, and the disciples were with Jesus, and the disciple says, Lord, who sinned, him or his parents? And he said, neither. He said, but he was blind for this day, for this purpose, for, you know, to show the glory of God. You know, and we say, well, it's not fair. Well, you know what? We're not God. God determines what's fair and not fair. We have a human mind, a finite mind, just a little bit of a mind. That's why we have to come humbly as a child. That's what he says. To go into the kingdom of God, you have to have a heart like a child, you know? So that means we have to believe. But the more you study and the more you ask God to reveal to you, he does in his word. You know, and that's why there's a, you know, constant controversy on the secret rapture and all that. Yes, God is coming back. It's very clearly said in that, but there's no secret rapture. That, you know, he's not going to come and take everybody out. There's you can't find that there. You know, yes, it does say in the twinkling of an eye in Thessalonians, but it's not talking about that. In fact, when you read Revelation, what we just got through reading, it's very clear what it says. And also, like, you have to go back to Matthew chapter 24, where Jesus was talking to his disciples, and he said, some of you here will be here in the end times, the last days. He was talking about when Rome came and they destroyed the temple in Jerusalem. They literally burned it. They broke the brick up and burned it down. Because that was significant in where where Jesus had brought in the new covenant, and the old covenant was cut off because Jesus had come and he was the fulfillment. But the Jewish people, and especially the leaders, not all Jewish people, not all Jewish leaders, but the majority of them, rejected. They kept rejecting Christ when he said he was the Messiah, you know, and they wouldn't hear of it. But then he also said, you know, you kill all the prophets and stuff from the past. They're the ones that get rid of them. But so Jesus said to his disciples, some of you will be here when this happens. And so that happened in 70 AD. If you read your history, and it's in Flavius Josephus, because he wrote about all that and all the horrors that came during that time, and like when they were killing everybody and all like that, because they were after to destroy the Jewish people. Because remember, if you remember reading in the New Testament, it says, when you read the accounts of when Jesus was on trial and the governor, Pontius Pilate, said to the Jewish people, you know, who do you want, this, the guy that just murdered somebody, or Jesus? And they clearly said the other guy, the murderer. And so, in fact, they screamed so loud, they said, let Jesus's blood be on us and our children. And so instead they, because it was a Jewish custom that the Romans went with, where once during Passover they would release one of the prisoners, no matter what, whoever they chose. And so they, so between Jesus and the guy that had murdered like a lot of Romans or whatever and soldiers, and so they wanted the other guy. And that guy who was a murderer and stuff, his name was Barabbas. And so they shouted, we want Barabbas, not Jesus. And that's what happened. But see, Jesus came to be the one-time sacrifice, so that had to happen. But because of the evil hearts of the people and the rejection of Christ, then all that happened. So, and then they literally said, let his blood be on us and our children and children, whatever. And that's exactly what's happened to today. And when you hear all this, they came up with a new name. So instead of being Christians, like the last so many years, they came up with Judeo-Christian, you know, so that means Christian and Jews. But no, the Jews to this day still reject Jesus as the Messiah, you know, or the Savior. They still reject him to the day. In fact, they teach that in their families, and they won't read Isaiah 53, which describes Jesus in the Old Testament coming. And you can read that there, and it's exactly what the New Testament describes, you know. But they won't let people read that. They reject them. You can go on YouTube to videos, and you can watch, you know, like any Christian trying to preach or talk to the Jewish people, and they almost want to kill them, you know, and they spit on them and every other thing. So that there is no wrong, very wrong, you know. And so, yeah, so like when it talks about in Revelations of the last days, it's John the Revelator, the one who was on who's in Patmos, he's the one that wrote that, and he wrote the Revelations to the church at that time, the New Testament church, the early church. That was for the early church. See, but you know, so when you have the wrong context and you have the wrong theology or eschatology, it just messes you all up. And that's why Bible Education Institute is here, and there's many other ones that teach properly. But you need to know. You also, like, you can buy like Hebrew and Greek dictionaries, and you can learn, you know, the words, Hebrew and Greek words and stuff, and so you can understand the meaning. And then, like I said, you can get the complete works of Flavius Josephus about the New Testament church, and they have a lot of historical books on the New Testament church, and it really would behoove you to get that to understand and get the whole context of what we're reading about. Okay, let's continue. Start at I'm just going to start back at 16, verse 16 on Romans chapter 9. It does not therefore depend on human desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For Scripture says to Pharaoh, I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you and my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. Verse 18, therefore God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. Verse 19, one of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us? For who is able to resist his will? Verse 20, but who are you, a human being, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to the one who formed it, why did you make it like this? Verse 21, does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for special purposes and some for common use? Verse 22, what if God, although choosing to show his wrath and make his power known, bore with great patience the objects of his wrath, prepared for destruction? Verse 23, what if he did this to make the riches of his glory known to the objects of his mercy, whom he prepared in the advance for glory? Verse 24, even us whom he also called, not only from the Jews, but also from the Gentiles. Verse 25, as he says in Hosea, I will call them my people who are not my people, and I will call her my loved one who is not my loved one. 26, and in the very place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they will be called children of the living God. Verse 27, Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the Israelites be like the sand by the sea, only the remnant will be saved. Verse 28, for the Lord will carry out his sentence on earth with speed and finality. Verse 29, it is just as Isaiah said previously, unless the Lord Almighty had left us descendants, we would have become like Sodom. We would have been like Gomorrah. Okay, the next section, should be the last section here. Yes, it's just a little bit. So we got verses 30 to 33, Israel's unbelief, and it will be done. What then shall we say, that the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have obtained it, a righteousness that is by faith? Verse 31, but the people of Israel who pursued the law as the way of righteousness have not attained their goal. Verse 32, why not? Because they pursued it not by faith, but as it were by works. They stumbled over the stumbling stone. Verse 33, as it is written, see, I lay in Zion a stone that causes people to stumble, and a rock that makes them fall, and the one who believes in him will never be put to shame. Man, that was a good one. Romans chapter 9, good section. Good section. Okay, now I'm going to give you some scripture verses. I'm going to give you Luke chapter 18, verse 9 through 14. Let me see. And this is the NIV, New International Version, the parable of the Pharisee and the tax collector. To some who were confident of their own righteousness and looked down on everyone else, Jesus told this parable. Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee, the other a tax collector. The other Pharisee stood by himself and prayed, God, I thank you that I am not like other people, robbers, evildoers, adulterers, or even like this tax collector. Verse 12, I fast twice a week and give a tenth of all I get. Verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance. Now, Let me stop here for a minute. The tax collector were kind of considered like the mafia because how the Romans did it, they had they got these people. They were usually like Jewish men or whatever to come and extort taxes from the people for Rome. They wanted a certain set, and then they said whatever you get over that, they could keep. And that's why they were so hated. Let's continue. Verse 13, but the tax collector stood at a distance. He would not even look up to heaven, but beat his breast and said, God have mercy on me, a sinner. I tell you that this man, rather than the other, went home justified before God. For all those who exalt themselves will be humbled, and those who humble themselves will be exalted. Now I'm going to give you some salvation scripture. Romans chapter 10, verses 9 through 10 and 13, King James Version. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For the heart, man believes on the righteous, with the mouth confesseth me salvation. Romans chapter 10, verse 13, King James Version. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Romans chapter 10, verse 17, King James Version. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I'm going to read you Romans chapter 10, verse 14 to 15, also King James Version. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in whom of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? Verse 15, and how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. And that's what all these ministries are doing, including Bible Education Institute. We're out here to get you the gospel, to get you that, so you can hear the truth that will set you free. Okay, why do we need Christ? Because we all have broken God's moral law, the Ten Commandments. I'll just give you a few of them. Remember, if you break one, you break them all. Have you ever lied? What do you call someone that lies? You call them a liar. That's the ninth commandment. You shall not bear false witness. And we all tell white lies or little lies, or we get in a situation and we lie out of it to get out of it so not get bad consequences, but it's a lie. So we've already broken them all. And I'll just read you a couple more. Have you ever stolen anything with a paperclip or pen or whatever? It don't matter the value of it. It's, God judges by the intent of what we do. So that would be the eighth commandment, you shall not steal. And what do you call someone that steals? A thief. That's two. Have we ever looked at another person with lust? According to Jesus, we've already committed adultery in our hearts. And that's the seventh commandment, you shall not commit adultery. Have you ever hated one? This would be a fourth one. Have you ever hated anybody? According to Jesus, you've already committed murder in your heart because you hate them. That's the sixth commandment, you shall not murder. And that's four of the commandments. And that shows us right there that there's no way we can keep it. Therefore, what do we need to do? So let me put it this way. So if God was to judge you by the Ten Commandments, would you be innocent or guilty? We'd be guilty. Heaven or hell? It would be hell. So what did God do for guilty sinners like us? When he went on the cross to be crucified, and he went willingly because that's what he came to do, to pay for all of our sins. And when he died, he said, it is finished, which means the penalty for sin has been finished. Now we can come by faith believing, but you still got to come by faith. Got to humble yourself as a child and come and ask God's forgiveness and repentance, and then put the trust that you have in yourself and transfer that trust to Christ alone. It's like if you're in a plane about to crash, someone gives you a parachute, you're going to hold on to that parachute because it's going to save you from the jump to come. Jesus saves you from the judgment to come. And I know people don't want to believe it or whatever, but it is what it is. And that's where faith comes in. You can believe it or you can reject it. That's on you, you know. But I'm telling you, you know, like if you feel the Holy Spirit convicting you and pulling you, you know, and like you'll... It's not based on feelings, but, you know, you just know that we're in sin, we're wrong, you know. It's like when we lie or whatever, there's something in us that tells us what we're doing is wrong because God has wrote his Ten Commandments on our hearts. And that's why, you know, right from wrong, what's, you know, don't steal, don't kill, and so forth. So, if I were you, I would, right now, come to God and surrender your life to God. Say, God, forgive me. I am a sinner. And I know I can't save myself, and I just give you myself. I come with a sorrowful, contrite heart. I ask you to forgive me, and I put my trust in you alone, Jesus. You know, it's not that one prayer is going to save you or whatever, but God knows your heart. So, you know, when you turn your heart over, he's going to know it. And then from the time you do that, then you start reading the Bible. And I would suggest, if you're new to Christianity, you know, get a Bible. You know, if you're new to it, get a easy to read, like a New International Version, NIV, or New King James Version, or ESV, English Standard Version. That's a good one too. And I'll start in the New Testament book of John. It gives you all the basics first, and then when you finish John, go back over through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and read that, and then start reading the rest of it. And you'll start getting it and find a good Bible-believing teaching church to go to. Now, let me give you some resources. Okay, again, Dr. Vody Bakum, you can find him on YouTube. And also, you can go on Google and put Vody Bakum Ministries, and it'll pull up his ministry. You can follow him if you want. R.C. Sproul with Ligonier Ministries, Ligonier Ministries. And you can find him on YouTube. Living Waters with Great Comfort, livingwaters.com. Answers in Genesis with Ken Ham, answersingenesis.org. Wall Builders with David Barton, wallbuilders.com. He also has a weekly radio show you can find online, on radio. And all these people you can find on YouTube. They have YouTube channels and everything. Dr. Walter Martin, waltermartin.org. And if you'd like to correspond with us, our email is Bible Education Institute, all lowercase, @gmail.com. And we have a website. It's just a very simple one. It's just one that's free. And it has like some numbers in it or whatever, but it is 5D(B)(E)11A2(E)5831.site. It's all lowercase, S-I-T-E. 123.me, that's lowercase M-E. And also there'll be a link at the description of the video or the podcast and video, or you can just click on it. Hopefully, if not, you can just copy and paste it and put it in the search engine, pop it up if you want to visit the website. And if you'd like to donate, there's a link there also. And also on the website, there's a place to donate too, if you would like. And other resources is you can find Bible Education Institute with Reverend Henry Kelly on YouTube, Rumble, Telegram, Getter, Twitter, Facebook, Gab. You can also find us on the podcast, audio podcast at heliumradio.com, Helium Radio Network, Spotify, Apple, Amazon, Amazon Music, Overcast, Chrome, G-Potter, Firefox, Safari, iTunes, Audible, Alexa, Google, Podbean, Internet Explorer, Podcast Addict, and others. And the other good teachers are Doug Wilson, Gary DeMar. All these can be found on YouTube. Pastor Jeff Durbin with Apologia Studios. And if you go on his website, apologiastudios.com, you go in the menu, and there's a Greg Bonson, Dr. Greg Bonson. Was a wonderful professor, and he died, but the family donated all of his audio teachings, and they've remastered it and everything. It's either Bonson U or Greg Bonson or Bonson, and you can get a literal free seminary education. Dr. James White on YouTube, and he's with Apologia Studios. Pastor Joel Webbin with Right Response Ministries, and again, and these are all Reformed teachers, really good teachers. R.C. Sproul. And so that's it for today. So till next time, remember, read the Bible daily without failing to do what it says.